on in and get a seat. We'll be starting shortly. People are still trickling in, so we're going to let everybody get a seat here and look forward to the evening.
Tonight to look into thy word. And we are thankful that we have thy word in front of us. For we know, Father, that it is all that we need for life and godliness, and it is what we need to be complete and perfect in thee. And that is our desire. Our desire is to be more and more like Christ each day of our life. So, Father, as we look into this topic specifically on spiritual growth, and growing in our spiritual walk, give us wisdom, give us discernment, give us open minds and open hearts. May each of us look at where we are, and may each of us take something from tonight, put it into our heart, and may it bring forth fruit. Father, we pray for a blessing upon the word, pray for a blessing upon this evening, and we are thankful most of all for Jesus, who made all things possible. In his name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you so much for the warm welcome that we have felt and for the chance to be here tonight. We are really excited to be back in Morton. We lived here for a few years. Some of you maybe remember that when a while back, and we would attend as we could here in Morton, and we're always welcomed. And we really appreciate that, and we're thankful again for this opportunity. We are going to talk about a topic that seems very basic, but yet there's a lot of depth there. There's a lot of depth there. And I want to encourage you in this regard. I want to encourage you to take one thing, and you have a copy of the sheet in front of you with all the PowerPoints we'll go through. But I want to really encourage you and challenge you to take one thing tonight, at least one, but at least one thing that you're going to purposely work on doing better this next week and the week after and the week after. Because what can happen when we have a talk or a service or something along those lines that seems to be kind of a reminder type thing, stirring up your hearts, you know, to remembrance, is it can kind of come in and it can kind of just go into the background noise and be fine. And we're like, yep, I know that. I knew that. This is good. It's a good reminder. But then all of a sudden you realize you didn't do anything about it. And so I want to purpose you to just think of one thing tonight. Something that's going to trigger you, something that's going to catch you, and whether you mark on your page or whether you make a mark or something like that, but just remember that, okay? Second thing I want to encourage you in is to have a couple images in mind, and you'll have to forgive me. I'm going to be a proud dad here a little bit, but our son, Covenant, turns one on Thursday, if I've got that right, I think, and it's amazing how much a little body can change in 1 year. And as you all, many have experienced, you see a little person make dramatic change over a period of time. And it's such a great reflection of this idea of growth. And so this is him leaving the hospital. He still has a little band. If you look at it, he's got the little band there on his ankle there. He's leaving the hospital for the first time. And then here he was last week. We had privilege to be down in CVE, and he's walking around the campus like he owns the place in 1 year. So you can use that image if you want, or else the other image that you'll see reflected quite a bit is this idea of growth of like a tree. And on a beautiful spring day like we had today, it's easy to think about growth and change. But, I mean, imagine you're planting a tree or you're planting a small plant of some type and how that's going to grow and develop over its lifetime. Those images, those ideas, I want you to have in the back of your mind as we talk through this topic of spiritual growth and milk to meat. A little background. At the agency, we focus on there's a counseling side and there's a teaching side. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later, but on the teaching side, we specifically, and these are not on your slides, on your handout, by the way, we specifically talk about what encourages healthy growth and what encourages healthy relationships and what encourages a healthy church. And how do we encourage churches to that end, to have a level of health, so to speak? And there's an interesting scenario in the Gospel of John. There are three times that Jesus uses the word disciples. So will you be my disciples? And it's the only three times you actually see the plural of disciples in the scriptures, in the King James Version of the scriptures. There's lots of times the word disciple is used, but the only time you use the plural word. In John 8, he says, if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples. Indeed. In John 13, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And in John 15, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And I always have appreciated that progression, because to me, it's always, you know, Christ kind of talking about, number one, are you in the truth, the word? Number two, are you loving each other? And do you have healthy relationships with each other? And then number three, are you bearing much fruit? Are you out there serving? Those are three marks or clarifications of a disciple according to the Gospel of John in the Scriptures. And this talk is kind of the first of a series, if you will, and we are going to focus on that first verse more specifically. Then said Jesus unto them, then said Jesus to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we are going to talk specifically tonight about continuing in the word of truth. And like I challenged you at the very beginning, taking one principle or one idea or one concept that you can do better at personally and walking further and further and further in that truth. That's the idea of spiritual growth I want to communicate to you tonight, hopefully. As we get into the meat of the talk, so to speak, no pun intended, there is two places in the scripture where this concept of milk and meat is talked about. Two places. First off, in Hebrews 5, Paul, talking to the Hebrews church, says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you have this context where he is talking to them and saying, you are using milk, and strong meat is reserved for those who are exercised, who have their senses discerned to discern good and evil, who are a little bit further along. Again, another place in 1 Corinthians, a little bit earlier in the scriptures, he's a little bit even more bold in his wording. He says, "For I, brethren, could not speak unto you as under spiritual, but under carnal, even as babes of Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For ye are yet carnal, for as there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk not as men?" Here again, he is saying that same concept. I fed you with milk and not with meat. In both of those cases, both of those scriptures, milk talks about spiritual immaturity and meat talks about spiritual maturity. And Paul is addressing individuals that should be at meat and they are still at milk. And that's an important concept to understand. We need to dig into this just a little bit more. We are not talking about someone who naturally is still supposed to be at milk. For example, I have a one-year-old son. I don't bring my one-year-old son out when he is just a couple months old and start giving him McDonald's. That's not appropriate. That's not how his body is made for. His body is supposed to be, you know, working through milk, and that's healthy and good and appropriate. But you get to a point 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road, and the only thing in his diet is milk, that's not appropriate. There is a progression that should take place where you grow from milk to meat. You are making that progression throughout the time. And it is not appropriate to remain stagnant in the milk stage. That's not how God designed us to be. Just like you plant a seed in the ground and it is designed to grow, or just like you have a baby, a child, and that child is designed to mature physically, we are designed to grow spiritually. There are a lot of things that can affect that growth and a lot of things that can get in the way of that growth, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But we are designed to mature appropriately and over time. So in both of those passages, Paul, quite harshly, is discussing or talking to a church in each case, or groups of believers in each case, that are not where they should be. And if we're honest with ourselves, and as we do a self-examination in the light of the Word, there are probably areas of our life where we are not where we should be. And there are many areas of our life where we are where we should be, and that's good. Praise God for that. But there are probably areas of our life where we need to grow from milk to meat. This should not be considered an either-or type scenario. Either I'm milk or either I'm meat. This should be considered a continuum. And the other thing I want to encourage you to realize is that there will be parts of your life where you are more milky than others. And that's not necessarily inappropriate. There'll be parts of your life where you're going to have matured for whatever reason. Experiences God has brought you through. The obedience to His Spirit that you have when you have obeyed His Spirit. There'll be areas where you are more meaty than other areas. What is, again, inappropriate, or what I want to encourage you in, is to have this steady progression going on in your life. So that gets to this point where we kind of just settle or kind of coast. Nah, I'm there, I'm good, it's enough. That's not what we find in the Scriptures. We find in the Scripture a continual striving and encouraging to a deeper and deeper and deeper walk with Christ. And that's, you know, the heart, I think, of this talk. And I think if you would go back to the original verse that we used in John 8, where he says, "If you continue in my word, you have that sense of a continuing that's going on there. This is a graph we like to use, or I like to use here, to kind of look at what this is like, too. Just add a little bit more. It's a little bit complexity, but I hope it's understandable complexity. Realize, too, we like to think that life is like this. You know, you grow just like the straight arrow. You start the process, and you don't end the process till the end. You just keep growing straight up. And we know, you all know, that life is more like these bars behind it, where there are ups and downs. And there are times when growth is very rapid, or there are times, you can put this a couple different ways. There are times when growth is very rapid, or there are times when you feel that growth and you feel very close to God, and there are times when it's a lot drier or a lot more difficult. And what an encouragement is not to get caught up in the moment of like right here or right here, or right here or right here, but to view the trend over a period of time. And there will still be highs and lows, or undulations, as the term is, but there should be a trend of maturity over a period of time. You can bounce back from those lows a little quicker. The highs don't deceive you into this sense of it's always going to be this mountaintop type thing. You realize that those will come and those will go. I'm not losing my faith when I have a low period. God is still faithful. We'll be through this and we'll go on. To put this a little, another visual, one more visual, and I'll be done with my kids on the slides, just to let you know. But one more visual, if you think about kids again, Covenant is 1 year old this week. There will be dramatic change in the next 5 years of his life, Lord willing. My daughter Haven is 5 years old, and she looked very similar to Covenant when she was 1 year old. But there is a dramatic change over that 5 year period. And Haven will have a dramatic physical change from age 5 to age 10. You'll see a dramatic change. Now if I brought a picture up of me, which I'm not doing, of when I was 35, 5 years ago, compared to right now, at age 40, not a lot of difference. In fact, I still wear some of the same clothes, you know. And that's just how it is. So there's times when you see greater change than others. And that is, again, a natural part of that growth process. I say that to say this. As new Christians, there's going to be some fairly dramatic growth. But older Christians, those who have been walking with the Lord for a while, I think you have a depth of a relationship that there'll be times still of dramatic growth and dramatic change, but there's also going to be kind of that moderation that goes on. And that's fine, and that's appropriate. One last introductory part until we get into a series of concepts that we'll talk through. Also realize this. We like to view our life and our plan as this. This is how we would like God to take us through life, for many of us, if we're honest with ourselves. Let's get on the Christian walk, start pedaling that bicycle, and it's going to be a nice, smooth little sailing till we go home to glory. And I don't know if I'd say it unfortunate, because the deeper times are the times when God is closer lots of times. But the reality of it is, lots of times, God has different plans for us. And he's going to take us down side avenues and back alleys and different ways that we never expected. And that tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience hope, as it says in Romans. And through those experiences, you gain a greater appreciation, a greater depth, a greater understanding of our Father, a greater love for him, a greater surety of his faithfulness. And unfortunately, this is what life lots of times is like. A great example in Scripture to think through is that life of Joseph. Think about the life of Joseph for a moment. Study that life of Joseph. Think about the ups and the downs that he had in his walk. He was the favored son of Jacob. The favored son of Jacob. He had a little bit of a pride problem, or maybe he spoke when he shouldn't, sharing about the dreams and things like that. But before you know it, he finds himself in a pit, being sold into slavery in Egypt. He remains faithful somehow, instead of giving up like most people would in those type of situations. He remained faithful to his God. He finds himself promoted in the house of Potiphar. Then suddenly, due to his faithfulness to God, he finds himself thrown in prison because of false accusations. He remains faithful in prison. He has to wait 2 whole years when the butler does not remember him. And then he gets promoted in Egypt again, you know, to be second hand to the Pharaoh. Just think about that pattern of life. And if you were carving out that pattern of life, it is not this. That is not Joseph's life right there. It is very much like this. And yet Joseph, through his faithfulness, is an example for us to follow today. We use the verse in Romans 8:28. All things work together to good for those who love the Lord and walk according to his purpose. And I encourage you not to forget 8:29 too. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so as you think about spiritual maturity, and you think about your spiritual walk, and you think about the circumstances that God brings into your life, you know, ask yourself this question: how is this making me more like Christ? Or how can this make me more like Christ? That is the question to continually be asking yourself, because that is part of God's purpose with you, is to make you to be conformed to the image of his son through the circumstances, the experiences, the things that he brings into your life. How do these make you more like Christ? It's a good challenge. It's a good check for myself, at least. So we're thinking about spiritual growth. We're talking about moving from milk to meat in the appropriate time, appropriate fashion. And the next series, what we're going to do is go through a series of principles, ideas, concepts. Some of which are very familiar, and some of which hopefully you've maybe never thought the same way. But to help kind of encapsulate the spiritual growth process, it's kind of almost like you're doing a checkup here, a self-checkup here. How am I doing in this area? How am I doing in this area? How am I doing in this area? And I encourage you to kind of do a little self-examination as we walk through this. If we're going to talk about spiritual maturity, the first thing we're going to talk about is priorities, key priorities. And there are three questions tied with these key priorities. Number one, where do you want to go? Number two, where do you start? Where do you need to start? And number three, who's going with you? Those are good questions before any journey to ask yourself. Number one, where are we going to go? Number two, where do we need to start from? It's hard to know where you're going if you don't know where you're starting from. And number three, who's going to go with me? And an encouragement for the first question, where do we want to go, is I want you to remember that lots of times the journey is just as important as the destination. I'll give you this context. When we go hiking, often you hike to a destination. There's a trail, and it leads to a outlook, a waterfall, you know, something along those lines. The trails go somewhere. And you usually choose a trail based upon where it is going or what about it. And when I was younger, that was the key thing for me. Let's get to the end. You know, and you race down the trail to get to the waterfall or the lake or whatever it's going to be. As I've grown a little bit older, I've learned to appreciate the journey just as much as that destination. the forest you're walking through, the smells, the sounds, the sights, the time together with family, the cool air if you're in the mountains or whatnot. And I think it's an important thing to remember in our Christian walk too. There is a wonderful destination waiting for us. There is an eternity waiting for us, and it's a great destination, a great opportunity. But the journey that we go on too, let's not forget that. There are wonderful, wonderful things on this journey that we are to be focused on. Jesus tells you the two key principles to keep in mind in Matthew 22. He sums up all the law and all the prophets, and he says this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The lawyer comes to him and says, what's the greatest commandment? He says, what have you? He says, these are the two commandments that everything hangs on. Love the Lord with everything you've got, and love your neighbor like yourself. Those are key principles in our destination, or in our journey. Key principles. And so I ask you to take a little bit of time. You know, where are we going? We are going on this destination of spiritual growth, and never is the instruction going to get more simple than that. To grow spiritually, we are called to love God with everything we have, and we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we do those two things, we will continue to grow and grow spiritually. And these should be our priority. These should be our pinnacle. That is the destination to put in your mirror or your windshield or whatever. This is where we're going. Loving God with everything we have and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And ask yourself, what does that look like right now? I see all ages out here. In your personal life right now that you come in contact with, the people you come in contact with, the place that you work, the school you go to, whatever the context is, what does it look like, or how can I better love God with everything I have and love my neighbor as myself? Practically speaking, what do I do to keep that orientation in front of me? To make that the priority. That every person I come in contact with, I love like myself. That every opportunity I get throughout the day, I love God with all of my heart and soul and mind and strength and being. Second question ties in with this first section here. Is determine where you need to start. A little bit more introspection here as you look into yourself. Where are areas that you know you're in that milky state we talked about earlier? You're not as meaty as you feel. You feel convicted that you're not as meaty as you should be. Where are some areas? Paul said it. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Where do you need to put away childish things? Where are areas that you can put away childish things? Are there areas where you lack self-discipline? Are there attitudes that need to be sanctified? Are there relationships where you need to improve your relationships? Because we fall into this trap where we think that if I have this figured out, then I can really start. We do this a lot before repentance, you know? If I get through X, Y, and Z, then I can give my life to the Lord. And if we're not careful, we can do the exact same thing in our spiritual life. Well, I can't really deal with that because I gotta get this stuff taken care of first. Or once everything kind of falls in place for me, then I can really focus on getting this attitude in place. We rarely are given perfect opportunities. Christ, I think the psalmist, I forget where it is in the scripture, where his promise for grace for the day, today is all we have in front of us. And so, you know, the old saying is a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Start walking. Figure out where you need to start. Pick out an area. Start walking. Second thing, last thing, third thing, I mean, who's going with you? Who is going with you? Who are your cohorts, so to speak? how well do you respect and love and use that body of Christ? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. God is not surprised by our differences. We are designed uniquely by Him. We all bring different strengths and weaknesses to the table. There's great variance in how we see the world and how we interact and that kind of thing, and that's completely fine. God brings beauty out of that diversity, and that's exactly what He's desired us to do. Specifically, I want to encourage you, there is a unique opportunity in the body of Christ like we have in front of us, where I look out here and I see multiple generations. There is a unique opportunity in there to have what I call the threefold relationships of a body of Christ, but to have these different relationships present. A wise man a long time told me that at every point in your life, you need to have three relationships in your life, at least three. Every point in your life, you need to have someone who is mentoring you, someone to whom you are asking for direction or getting input, insight, encouragement from. You need to have someone that you are mentoring, someone that you're reaching down and teaching and encouraging, helping along the way. And then you need to have a peer who is helping keep you accountable, someone kind of in your same life stage, a level of accountability. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. And there is a key here. Because often we have some relationships, but we don't have the three that we should. It takes humility to have someone, to go up to someone and say, I need some mentoring. I need some wisdom. I need you. I would like you to share some experience with me. You've been through this. I have not. You've got years of experience, or you've been through a similar experience or whatnot. Can you give me some instruction? Can you help me? Can we just meet and talk? It takes some humility. We are taught, hey, I've got this. Don't worry. I'll figure it out. That's how lots of times we are taught, you know, be self-sufficient. Take care of it yourself. It takes transparency to have that accountability type relationship, a true accountability type relationship where you and your peers know each other well. They know what you're going through. And then the last one is one where we lots of times fall through on, because it takes a lot of selflessness to invest time and energy in another relationship. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of selflessness. And it becomes very easy in our busy lives, and we have very busy, filled with good things, lives. It becomes very easy to create kind of a system of sustainability or self-sustainability there, and to not do that self-check. Who am I investing in? Who is investing in me? And who is keeping me accountable? And think through those relationships. And there's something that is lost when you don't have that. Acts lays it out very well. Study the book of Acts. Study the life of Paul. Paul was, antagonistic to the gospel. He was called by God very dramatically in Acts 9. And he turned his life over to the Lord. And he was discipled by Ananias and Barnabas for a period of time. And you continue to follow that book of Acts, and him and Barnabas, their relationship almost kind of morphed into more of an accountability type relationship where he and Barnabas were going on missionary journeys together, at least one missionary journey, and became kind of more like accountability partners in another spot where he lived with Priscilla and Aquila. Whether that was, you consider that accountability or discipling, I don't get too caught up in the semantics. But he lived with Priscilla and Aquila, and he kind of had a very close relationship with them. And then a little bit further in Acts 16 and Acts 18, you see where Paul is discipling Timothy, and where Priscilla and Aquila are expounding the way of God more perfectly unto Apollos. And you continue on in the history of the church, and you find out that Timothy becomes the bishop of Ephesus, and Apollos has a huge impact on the church of Corinth. And you see that progression? You see how God designed that church to continue to grow and invest in relationships and keep investing and passing that on down. We miss something lots of times when it we lose that investment in further relationships. We lose that mentoring. We lose that discipling, whatever terminology you want to use there. We miss something that is clearly important in the Scriptures. And so I encourage you, as you are thinking about spiritual growth, don't just, primarily we're talking about ourselves here, but also think about who else is coming alongside you in this process. Who are you journeying through life together with? And how we can build and encourage and strengthen those relationships within the body. There is a priceless... there's a priceless, I'm not sure what the right term is, a thing going on here when you have an intergenerational body of Christ in front of you, where you can look out in the crowd and you can see old and you can see young and you can see faith being passed down from generation to generation to generation. And that is an extremely important and precious thing to never take for granted. And that only happens when you invest back into it. There are churches out there that would die to have this type of intergenerational relationship going on. They can have all the teaching that they want, but to have the intergenerational relationships is a critical, critical piece. And I encourage you to do your part in continuing that progression on down through the generations. Next part, we're going to talk about three key disciplines. These are a series of threes. So the first three is in your priorities. The second three is in your series of disciplines. What are three disciplines that keep you on this walk, this spiritual walk? These are, again, self-check type things. Number one, are you giving God the first fruits? Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of thine increase. And we use that to talk about, you know, tithing and giving financially, but there's an aspect of that other also comes in here in the area of like time and abilities and talents. Are you giving God the first fruits? When are you most mentally acute? When are you most awake? Is that when you give God your time? Or do we fit him in at the end of the day out of duty or obligation or whatnot? It's a good challenge. Schedule is too busy for God is giving place to the devil, as it says in Ephesians. Neither give place to the devil. We use this verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We use that lots of times as kind of we think about that for repentance, which it fits. If you put God first, everything else will happen. But think about that as an ongoing type thing. In your life right now, in your decisions, in your actions, in your behaviors, are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these other things will be added to you? He speaks that, Matthew 6, it's right at the end of a long section about anxiety and worry and stress, where Christ is addressing his disciples about don't worry about that. Look at the birds, they're taken care of. Look at the lilies in the field. They're taken care of. Put me first, and everything else will be taken care of. So, are you giving God the first fruits? Number two, are you saturating your mind with the Word? And I really like that word, saturation. Are you saturating your mind with the Word? Is it getting in you? We know 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How is your Bible study time? How well are you taking the word in? And realize, too, just like our life is kind of filled with those undulations, there will be undulations in your spirit, in your Bible study time. There will be times when that word comes in very well and you really feel like you're receiving it and the Spirit is present there and you're getting good things from it. And there'll be times when it's a little bit drier. It's more out of discipline. It's the whole point of a discipline. That's natural. That happens. There's questions, you know, how do you study the Word, or what's the best way to study the Word? I do have my personal preference up here, which is just that. It's a personal preference. I think I have found it healthy in my life to have a combination of what I call spontaneity and discipline. I think it's important to think through. I found that if I just would open up the Bible and just read a chapter, it's pretty hit or miss. There will be parts of the Bible I don't know very well. I don't really know necessarily the context. I haven't studied. Have I studied that chapter? Do I know what Nehemiah is about? Or do I just open up and read Nehemiah 5 and get a principle? God can talk that way. Definitely. But do I understand the context of what's going on in that chapter and what it truly means? And so I have found that if I don't have a discipline type approach, you know, where I try to read so many chapters a day and try to get through the Bible in a certain period of time and that kind of thing, I'm going to get pretty hit or miss. It's going to get, not lazy, I don't want to use that word, but I'm not going to get it nearly as well. But I also find that, okay, so I've got my discipline part-time in there and I'm reading so many chapters a day. If I'm not careful, then it can become almost robotic. And maybe some of you have had that too, where it becomes so robotic. Oh, I got my two chapters done. Don't remember a thing I read, but I got my two chapters done. Check it off the list and move on to the next thing on my to-do list today. And there are times when I find I just need to just let God speak through His Word. And I would like to think that because I have studied the Word, and it's not about me here, this is just one example, but because I've studied the Word in the other times when I open and read sections and that kind of thing, I know the context. I have a sense of where it's coming from. And the whole thing is very important to be covered with prayer. And to be in the Spirit and to be listening to Him. But you see the part there? It's not haphazard. We have to get the Word into us. Like I prayed, the Word is everything we need for life and godliness. And we need to realize that and treasure it for what it is. It ties very closely with the third discipline here, this idea of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6 talks about the law of intentionality. Are you intentional in your sowing and in your reaping? Are you purposeful? You do not go out as a farmer and just throw stuff out there in the springtime. There's a lot of time and investment that goes in to make sure that the planting goes right. I've been on a family farm for my entire life. And the same way, we need to be thinking about our spiritual walk the same way. What are we intentionally sowing? What are we intentionally seeking for? And so if you're intentional about reading through the Scriptures, about memorizing Scripture, about sharing with other people, it will happen. If you're unintentional, you'll get unintentional results. Next section. What are some key attributes? What are some key attributes? Three key attributes to keep in mind, and these are, again, kind of self-check type things. If you look at them conversely, they are things that can get in the way. If you look at them positively, they are things to add into your life. But the first one is that stop trying to be somebody else. You are you by God's design. And one of the greatest hindrances to our spiritual walk and our spiritual growth is that we lots of times spend time worrying about the other person or how they're doing versus how we're doing. And if we're not careful, that can become very damaging to our walk. Very discouraging. Think through the story of Esther. There's a great verse in Esther 4:14. For such a time as this, don't you know? That's what Mordecai is telling Esther. Don't you know that for such a time like this, you were placed where you were to save the Jews in this place. And God has placed each of you where He wants you for such a time like this. So don't try to be someone else. We all have a different role that we play. And the question here at the bottom is, what role are you playing in the body of Christ, in your specific body of Christ? You're in the Morton Church. What role are you playing, or what role can you play? We won't all be big rocks. Some of us will be these little rocks, and that's all completely fine. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians, it says that these little rocks, the more uncomely rocks, are of greater value than the larger rocks, the comely rocks. If you can put it in that context. You have a unique learning style, personality, ability, series of passions, experiences, spiritual gifts. And I know that you have had, you know, a lot of spiritual talk on spiritual gifts and different things at this church. You understand what where I'm coming from with that context. But I just want to encourage you that lots of times there's this roadblock in our walk, and you can narrow it down to just trying to be like somebody else. Put that aside. Focus on who God made you, and rejoice in that. Second key attribute to remember is that knowledge without love is nothing. And it's really convicting when you read that first part of 1 Corinthians 13. And he talks about, I mean, look what he says. Flip two. Look what he says there. He says, though I have all knowledge and all faith, I can remove mountains and have not charity, it is nothing. Spiritual growth is not about knowing things. There's an aspect of spiritual growth where you grow in your knowledge and wisdom, so to speak. But that has to be covered in love. Dramatically covered in love. God is not impressed with spiritual know-it-alls. One of the most important things I would encourage you is to maintain a teachable spirit at all times. None of us have a corner on the truth, as they say. All of us have room to grow. None of us are the smartest man in the room compared to God. Let's maintain a sense of teachability and a sense of love one for another. Where we see this lots of times is in this realm of spiritual fads, where we'll have zealots or disciples of the latest fad of the day, and we get caught up in a fad that's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. And often, contention is born on the fine points of opinion about matters that are unclear in the Scriptures. God wrote the Bible as he desired. It was inspired by Him. There are parts that are extremely clear, and there are parts that are not as clear. And that's how God put it there. Let God be God. Maintain, as we call it, doctrinal humility. Be zealous about God, and be zealous about His Word. And be careful when that idea of knowledge without love gets strong there. And tying closely onto here is the last attribute, which is the idea of humility. I love this Philippians verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. I mean, found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about that example of Christ, that example of humility. It should ooze out of us, this humility. It should be evident in everything that we do. Are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to put other people first? Are you willing to admit it when you're wrong? How is our humility today compared to the example of Christ? So we talked through three priorities. We talked through three key attributes. And we talked through three key disciplines. Disciplines before the attributes. One more quick section and then we'll wrap up. quick little reminder, there are some counterfeits. There are some things that look like spiritual growth, but are in reality kind of a sense of counterfeit, almost a covering, something that is not truly it. Counterfeit, by definition, is something that looks like something else, but it's not really that. And I've listed a few of these here, and I won't spend a lot of time on them, but you can get hijacked by these counterfeits if you're not careful. It can be all about knowledge and not application. You might be able to recite every last king of Israel and whether he was a good king or a bad king and who his wife was and where his wife came from. And that's fine, but if you don't have any application point off of that, it's not what we're talking about here. Knowledge without application can be a counterfeit here. Putting yourself above your spiritual authorities, or kind of an external conformity but an internal rebellion, can be an example of a counterfeit. Looking at others as lower than yourself, loss of humility here, this would be an example of loss of humility, or respecting persons. That's my crowd over there. That's not my crowd over there. I'm going to hang out with my crowd. You know, that kind of idea. And we might think we're the most spiritually mature group over there, but when there is that ostracization that's going on, there's a problem. It's not Christ. That is not Christ-like. Believing you can grow spiritually by isolating yourself from the body of Christ. There's no lone ranger Christians, as the saying goes. Viewing spiritual growth as a list of boxes you need to check off each day. I've used that terminology quite a bit in this presentation. Don't mishear me. Or the intent of what I meant to say there. The most important thing about spiritual growth is seeking to understand and know God through prayer and study and that kind of thing. If we're not careful, we can create this kind of checklist. I did this, 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 so I must be good today. I get an A for the day. Just like that, you know, if you think about that image I showed you where our God's plan for us and there's low points and high points and valleys and waterfalls and all kinds of things going on there, some of your closest times to God will be the times you feel like everything's falling apart. And your checklist has been tossed away, long gone, forgotten, and trampled on underfoot. That's okay. Remember what Christ said, love me with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. If there's any type of checklist, that's the only one to really be thinking about. We can view charisma, same thing as spiritual growth. If we're not careful, just because someone is a good talker, has a natural talent towards talking and expressing their point of view in a very persuasive manner, doesn't mean automatically they are more spiritually mature than someone else. We fall into that trap if we're not careful. And we can confuse emotions with the Holy Spirit. That's a tough one. How do you discern between emotions and the leading of the Spirit? And, boy, that's a whole nother talk for a whole nother time. And I put something simple on there. Seek the maturity and counsel of other people. And I think there's truth to that. That's where the relationships come into play. But realize it's not uncommon to struggle through that. Seek God. Seek His Word. Continue to grow in that. That's the list of counterfeit. The next list I have is a little bit longer list, and this is, again, for you to take home. I'll skim through a couple of these, but for the most part, I want you to kind of take this home. And it's a list of characteristics of the spiritual mature. And if you are like me, and if you are honest with yourself, I think, these will be fairly convicting. You're going to find some of these and think, I got room to go. And that's fine. That's completely normal. A spiritually mature person is going to know the Word and yet seek to know it more fully. You're never satisfied with your knowledge of the Word and with your growth in it. And every time you turn over one rock, there's two more rocks you find out that you need to turn over. And you get this gem, you realize there's three more gems to go for. I'll skip through a few of these. You display general authenticity in relationships no matter who is around. You're not a people pleaser, so to speak. You're not one way with one group of people, another way with another group of people. You're aware that you're imperfect and in need of grace, that you live exemplary lives. You seek to mentor that relationship piece. You're aware of your weaknesses and seek to correct them. You view church, there's a couple here about church, you view church as important to your personal walk and as being part of the body in Christ. It's not just about what you can get out of it, it's as much as about what you can give back to it. And I talked about that quite a bit earlier there. You look at all people within the congregation as being part of the body in Christ, not just the people they are similar or get along with easily. You're willing to spend time with those that are not your close friends. There was a quote, and I can't remember it, and I'm not going to remember it, but there is a quote by an author I like that said, in his mind, one of the greatest hallmarks of a Christian is they're going to be that type of person that always seems to have time for you. They're not so, and this is always convicting to me, they're not so full of themselves or full of their schedule or full of their busyness that they don't have time to stop and listen and take time. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that thought, and I think it kind of hints at it a little bit here, where are we willing to invest in others and take time in others? You know how to rest in the Lord, especially during trials. You let God be God. You're willing to receive correction from others. You're willing to correct and exhort other people. Again, use this as a checklist. Walk through this in the quietness of your devotions and think through this. And say, you know what? This is an area I need to improve upon. I'm not here where I need to be. This is an area where I need to do better. This is an area where, this is an area I'm doing okay. Take comfort in that. But I think, if you're like most people, you'll find some areas in here that are convicting and challenging. And this is not exhaustive. There's a lot more things. A lot better lists than this out there. But these are just some ideas to stir your minds up. Let me finish with this image. We started with the image here of planting the tree, the plant, whatever it might be. And there is a passage in Mark 4, which I really like. And I think it speaks to God's design for us and how we are designed to grow. In Mark 4, verse 30, he says this. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it was sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And I like that image, that a tiny little plant, a tiny little seed, it's designed by God to grow. And it's designed by God to grow into a great thing. And that's exactly how we are. We are designed by God to go from the milky state of our life to the meaty state of our life. To go from young to mature. And just like the image I have up there, we have a tiny little plant and it grows into a big, I always think about big oak trees. And you see them out in an open area sometime. And they take a long time to grow. But they grow slow and they grow strong. And there's great power and blessing in those oak trees. And it's very similar to that wordage that Christ used there when he talks that through in Mark about the mustard seed growing to where the birds of the air are planted in there. So, what's your one thing that you have there? I challenged you at the beginning, find one thing. What is one thing that I can do to improve my spiritual walk this week? What is one thing I need to do better? I encourage you and I exhort you, and I am thankful for the opportunity. And I let God take you from milk to meat in each and every part of your life. Let me make a quick transition then before Brother Ted Sr. comes up and closes it. There's one quick section I wanted to just emphasize, I was encouraged to emphasize since we're here, about the counseling service. And if you look at the last page on your diagram, as you know, the counseling service is just right down the road, and it's been a blessing for many, many years. I am fairly new. I've only been there for a little over a year. The mission of the counseling service is to help the hurting, nurture hope, and encourage growth. And that I include the organizational chart there on it. This is me over here. But normally when you think of the counseling service, you're thinking of the counselors kind of over on this hand, over in this side. And there's a whole other branch of the counseling service which is not as well known. And this is the counseling side. And everything that you can think about with the counseling end takes place there. People come and get help every single day. And serious problems are addressed, and your prayers are greatly encouraged as the counselors work through and talk through and navigate very difficult situations in a very real way. The other branch that was developed a few years ago is what we call the church outreach branch. And this is the intent of the church outreach branch is to get out to churches and proactively teach principles, ideas, concepts, to prayerfully, proactively keep, just teach the church as a whole, but also hopefully proactively deal with problems before they become larger. And so what we do in the church outreach side is we work as a go-between or a liaison between the counseling service and churches, church leadership. We go out to churches. We do a series of presentations, seminars, teaching experiences, small group programs, larger group programs. There's multiple different things that we do. We have a mentor program that I know there's one here in Morton where we do mentor training with church congregations. We maintain the website and have a whole host of resources on the website. We talk through the educational piece. I work with the counselors who develop material, and I help get that material into different formats and that kind of thing. And again, if you think about the counseling side, it's kind of more of the reactive type side, and the church outreach side is kind of the more proactive type side. There's great opportunity at both ends, and continued great opportunity at both ends. I do have, on a little side note, we have, if you go to our website, accounseling.org, there's a spot where we have new resources we develop all the time, some which tie in greatly with spiritual growth, Bible study adaptations that we do, resources on spiritual growth and that kind of thing. They're available off the website. When new ones come out, we send emails out, email announcements. Many of you probably receive those or are already part of those. You can sign up for them right on the website, or else I also have a sign-up sheet up here that I'm going to leave up here afterwards. If you don't get those emails, I'd encourage you to sign up and get those, so you're well aware of what's going on. What I would encourage overall is just for your prayers. We need your prayers each and every day. And we appreciate the love and support that we've always felt from the Morton Church. And we are thankful to be in a loving community like Morton. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Ted.
Well, thanks, Brother Arlen, for being here tonight. And I don't know about you, but he gave us a lot of food for thought. And milk or meat? And I guess my question is, as I listen to him tonight, a question you might have is, what's your diet look like? What are you dining on? What are you dining on? Did you catch all this tonight? Did you get it all? Did you absorb it all? It's a good thing you have these. We all need to go home, I think, and read it through again. There's just a lot there. But one of the things he asked right at the very beginning, what is one thing you're purposely going to work on in your spiritual growth? And, you know, this idea of moving from milk to meat. And I think if you're one of those people that you're on milk and you need to move to meat and you'd like to, it began here tonight just by you being here. Just by you being here is going to help that, because you came out tonight to learn more. And so take it from there. And as the scripture says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means grow. There's time for growth, and we need to grow. And this helps us to do that. So again, thank you, Brother Arlen, for being here. It was wonderful. It was really good. And let's now rise for prayer. Father up in heaven, we've really been taught well tonight. We've been taught much. And as we even spoke about tonight, we can read and read and read and we can be taught, but what will we apply? What will we live out? And so help us, dear Lord, to be those that look into the Scripture and that we study it, but also asking ourselves and asking of Thee how we can apply it into our lives and how we can live it out and grow for the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants us to really grow. And so the challenge has come forth tonight to move from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. And we're just thankful that the Word is available. We're thankful for Brother Arlen for coming tonight and for bringing such a tremendous message, one that's very, very important for all Christians. No matter young, middle-aged, or older, there's something tonight for each and every one. And so we're thankful for all those that came out tonight. We're thankful for those that are listening to us over the wire. We pray blessings upon each and every one. Just being here indicates a healthy appetite, a willingness to learn, hunger for the Word. All these are good if we're going to move from the milk to the meat. And so give us that desire, give us that hunger, and continue, dear Lord, to work with us and teach us, dear God, not only on an evening like this, but certainly as we open our Bibles and we would read from day to day, and as we would study the Word in the quietness of our homes, help us, dear Lord, to really grow strong. May we be strengthened for the journey ahead so that eventually that destination can be reached. And as we look back over our lives, and as the Lord looks back over our lives, He can see good and willing servants, willing to give of themselves for the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we are thankful for each and every one. We're thankful to Jesus. And we're just grateful again that we have the Word that teaches us these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you again for coming.